3. Chemistry.
I know you are all very familiar with the periodic table, but do you know the history of it? That's what we are going to talk about today. Okay, so as you know, the function of the periodic table is to organize chemical elements on the basis of their chemical properties. Over time, as we've learned more about the different elements, we've had to change the table. So, the table we know today has evolved over the years in conjunction with the science of chemistry. Originally, the elements were ordered according to their atomic mass in relation to the mass of a hydrogen atom, which is set at one atomic mass unit. Let me put that another way. The mass of a hydrogen atom is set at 1, okay? And then using that as the standard weight, all other atomic masses are measured in relation to it. That was how things were done at first, how the table was ordered. Over time, certain recurring patterns were noticed with regards to the atomic mass of elements. For example, in 1817, Johann Dobereiner noticed that some elements could be grouped together in threes, and the grouping had to do with the relationship between the atomic masses. You see, he observed that for some groups of three elements, if you ordered them according to their atomic masses, you would find that the element in the middle would have an atomic mass that was halfway between that of the other two. In other words, the mass of the middle element was an average of the other two. Let's refer to the periodic table in the book. Look at the elements lithium, which is Li number 3, sodium, which is Na number 11, and potassium, which is K number 19. If you add up the atomic masses of all three, which we don't have listed here on this table, then divide by 3, your answer is the same as the atomic mass of sodium. That's the law of triads. Another pattern was observed in 1863 by John Newlands. He devised the law of octaves. As you might guess from the name, it involves sets of 8. This law states that elements behave similarly to elements whose mass differs from them by a multiple of 8. In other words, every 8th element, when grouped according to atomic mass, has similar properties. Dmitri Mendeleev is considered the father of the modern periodic table. What he did was he wrote out the names, atomic masses, and other properties of each known element on separate cards. Then, he ordered them according to their atomic mass. He noticed, like his predecessors, that certain properties repeated periodically. Not all of the elements fit the pattern neatly, though, so Mendeleev had to move some elements into new positions, despite their atomic mass. Although some nice patterns had been observed, the table was not yet perfect. So Mendeleev didn't actually make the table we see in our book today, but he did put us on the path toward this table. The problems Mendeleev had with his groupings were solved almost 50 years later when Henry Gwyn Jeffreys Moseley developed a system of assigning an atomic number to each element. Notice I said atomic number, not atomic mass. Try not to confuse those two. An element's atomic number is based on the number of protons within the nucleus of the atom of the element. So, the atomic number of an element is equal to the number of protons in the atomic nucleus. This proved to be a far more functional way to order the elements than by ordering them by atomic mass or by groupings. By ordering the elements according to their atomic number rather than their atomic mass, the problems with Mendeleev's table disappeared, and hence, a far more comprehensive periodic table was born. So now, as you can see in your book, the table is organized into rows and columns. Each row is referred to as a period, and each column is referred to as a group. In some groups, all of the members of the group display similar properties. In general, we can say that elements share more similar properties with other elements in the same group than with other elements elsewhere in the table. However, there are a few periods, or rows, in which the elements share significant similarities. Does that make sense? What I mean is that any given element is a member of two things: a period, which is identified by the row it falls in, and a group, which is identified by which column it falls in. Got that? And in some of the periods, the member elements have similar properties. Then the columns are the groups, And within the groups, many of the elements share physical characteristics and chemical behavior.
Number 1. What aspect of the periodic table does the professor mainly discuss? Number 2. What is the speaker's main point? Number 3. How does the professor explain certain points about the periodic table? Choose two answers. Number 4. What does the professor imply when she says this?
So, the table we know today has evolved over the years in conjunction with the science of chemistry.